Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Today's topic is synesthesia. One article I found was titled, rather irreverently, "What the Hell is Synesthesia?" And to be honest, that was sort of my reaction as well. Just what is this all about? To start with, synesthetes can taste sounds, smell colors, or see scents. Understand? Well, I doubt it. So let's dig a little deeper into synesthesia and find out what it's all about. The first article came from Psychology Today magazine, and this was also mentioned originally. I saw it on Facebook. The Blind New World page talked about synesthesia. The headline reads, "Out of Darkness and Into a Glowing World of Technicolor. A Blind Woman Starts to See Her Surroundings Through Intense Visual Imagery." This was posted, back in 2015 by Gina Marie Appleby. The article starts, "Waking up on the graduate student office couch from an afternoon nap was nothing out of the ordinary at the time. The migraines had gone on relentlessly for months before. The deep burning sensation on the back of my head drowning out most thoughts and the flashing color hallucinations were enough to put an acid junkie in their place. What was unusual was what happened when I sat up. I stared, eyes closed, in fascinated disbelief, as I suddenly realized that I could see my hands. I turned my palms over, watched my fingers open, close, open. This may not sound that extraordinary, but it was for me. I hadn't seen anything with my eyes in roughly 5 years. Then again, I wasn't really seeing. I was sort of seeing with my eyes closed. No one expects to wake up and see with their eyes closed, to see with their imagination and all the senses at once. No one expects to morph into a glowing technicolor being immersed in a gorgeous and infinitely connected world of psychedelic light. No one expects their brain to spontaneously reconfigure itself through some kind of freakish neurological event. But that is exactly what happened to me. Apparently, going blind was just the beginning of an amazing adventure." Now, almost 2 years later, the condition has far from dissolved back into something we might call relatively typical reality. Quite on the contrary, the unusual perceptual phenomenon I have come to call pansensory synesthesia not only persists, but continues to evolve. Essentially, all my senses are fused into a dynamically coherent whole. Visually, this includes a technicolor visualization of myself. My hand glows the way your hand does when you hold it over a flashlight. My body is surrounded by what appears to be a little electromagnetic field, complete with radiating lines of electric yellow, green, and blue lightning. It's actually every bit as ridiculous as it sounds, only so much more beautiful. Pulsing with stronger luminosity, the way I do after a run, I fumble with half dozen fluorescent blue fingers to get my key in the door. That experience of what some call flow, that's in quotation marks around that, flow, when fully in the natural groove of some action pattern, be it running or yoga or surfing or creative practice, has become more than an abstract occasional feeling to me. Rather, it is a way of being for me. All my movements are visibly tangible. Standing with my back against the ancient gas wall heater, I watch the warmth rush over me and through my left shoulder in deep red color. I watch it spread through the rest of my body more slowly to the tip of my partially visible nose. Continually observing effects of interactions, I notice how temperature and other energetic variations show up visually. This is very real, I affirm to myself. This is real, and it's definitely not going away. The blue light quality of my closed eye visualization is limited mostly to situations where I visualize myself. but I also visualize whatever I happen to be in direct contact with. Once the initial oddity of looking at stuff with my eyes shut had worn off, I began experimenting. By turning the coffee cup in my hands, its image became brighter, more clear. The rim was very definitely more shiny. Boundaries stood out more brightly. The edge of the coffee table had a distinct boundary made of weird blue light as I put the cup down. The room looked like it was made of less permeable light surfaces. Even the floor, the record shelves, and the open windows lit up in my mind. I could see my cuffed jeans, how they were soaked almost to the knee. Something about the profound simplicity of the setting struck me. My mind, still reeling from the onslaught of visual information, sort of began to relax into the situation. Now, other people and all forms of life appear as veering configurations of electric blue light. Strange eddies of light swirl into shapes, vaguely resembling people, cats, or trees. Glancing at my hands with fresh clarity after Shavasana, I find my way to a seat for a little post-yoga meditation. Living with intensely integrated awareness, working with the breath and the cerebral blood flow that was such a struggle early on in my Technicolor adventures, is becoming easier through practice. My teacher strikes the bell bowl, and I feel the sound resonate and pass right through me. In this way, sounds are simultaneously felt sensations. My entire body responds to any form of vibrational input. Again, the contrast of a sudden noise or buzzing in stillness is clear as it temporarily disturbs the whole visualization, then returning to its ambient shimmering, like a liquid surface. This feeds into a sense of being more deeply and dynamically integrated with everything around me. At its most extreme, my empathic sensations will include the felt sensation of guitar strings beneath my upstairs neighbor's fingers, or the pages of a book turning in a friend's hands. My overall experience is one free of phenomenological veils. With no rifts between levels of consciousness, I remain to varying degrees wide open to the deluge of rich environmental stimuli. Now there is no illusion of separateness. Describing this pansensory synesthesia, or whatever it is we want to call it, probably sounds wonderful. And it is wonderful, but the process of getting to this place was thoroughly grueling. Fairly early on, I eliminated the concept of, quote, pain from my mental vocabulary as the searing sensations shifted through my nervous system. My physical body was not the only one undergoing this fiery transformational reorganization. It was as if my mind were continually melting and recrystallizing, cycling between hyper-meaning and pure chaos. I never would have made it without the loving kindness of the people in my supporting communities. I explained the entire phenomenon to myself in terms of chaos in complex adaptive systems, a passion of mine I had delved into deeply for years. But understanding something is not the same thing as learning how to live with it. The learning how to live with it part takes a lot more time, trial, and error. I watched, reflected, and experimented extensively in a way that any natural system, having undergone a sudden enormous shift, settles into a kind of slow subsequent growth. At first, I thought I was alone in this gorgeous reality. As time went on, though, I found the case of Zoltan Torey. I began to see connections with cases of Kundalini awakenings and people with all sorts of transformative experiences. I began to see a similarity between our stories. I realized how my process was its own manifestation of an ubiquitous fundamental phenomenon of evolving consciousness, just more extreme and in technicolor. While the whole incredible metamorphic process has been extraordinarily challenging, I have adjusted my lifestyle to accommodate my new awareness as sustainably as possible, a process that is always an ongoing work in progress. Now, she says the article ends by telling you that you can read more about synesthesia. They have a new book out called The Superhuman Mind, Free the Genius in Your Brain. This is published by the Hudson Street Press, which is part of Penguin Random House. It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound. Now, accompanying these articles from Psychology Today are a couple of definitions to get us started. First asks the question, what is synesthesia? Synesthesia is a neurological condition in which stimulation of one sensory or cognitive pathway, for example, your hearing, leads to automatic, involuntary experiences in a second sensory or cognitive pathway, such as vision. Simply put, when one sense is activated, another unrelated sense is activated at the same time. This may, for instance, take the form of hearing music and simultaneously sensing the sound as it swirls or patterns of color. Since synesthesia can involve any combination of the senses, there may be as many as 60 to 80 subtypes, but not all have been documented or studied, and the cause is unclear. The most commonly seen type is grapheme color synesthesia. This is when individual letters and numbers are associated with specific colors and sometimes colorful patterns. Some synesthetes perceive texture in response to sight, hear sounds in response to smells, or associate shapes with flavors. Many synesthetes have more than one type of synesthesia. It is estimated that approximately 3 to 5% of the population has some form of synesthesia, and the condition can run in families. This was the definition, what is synesthesia, from Psychology Today. The next short paragraph from Psychology Today says about the sixth sense of synesthesia. It's a little hard to say with all those S's. The sixth sense of synesthesia: sight, smell, taste, touch, and sound. And synesthesia? Though we're no closer to discovering or developing a true sixth sense, research suggests that synesthesia may confer some sensory enhancements. Some scientists posit, for example, that synesthetes are better at distinguishing between smells as well as between colors. Mirror touch synesthesia, described as a kind of supercharged empathy in which someone feels as though they're being touched if they witness it happening to someone else, this mirror touch synesthesia appears to come with a special set of considerations. Such as an observed advantage in recognizing facial expressions, are benign. Others may be burdensome, as in the case of a neurologist who felt intense pressure in his chest when he saw a patient receiving CPR. Well, that ends the group of the information from Psychology Today about synesthesia. Before I go on, let me try spelling that word for you in case you want to look it up on your own. It's spelled S-Y-N-E-S-T-H-E-S-I-A, synesthesia. And now, do you remember from Jeopardy a few months ago when they had James Holzhauer on, where he won a little over $2 million? You must remember that. He did reveal at one point in his run on Jeopardy that he got a lot of information from the children's section of the library. And he pointed out that's where they give you concise, easy-to-understand, quick-to-learn information. So I went to a website and found some neuroscience for kids. And this is where we'll continue with our information about synesthesia. This was from a website, www.faculty.washington.edu/Chudler, C-H-U-D-L-E-R. And he is the professor who wrote this article. Supposedly, neuroscience for kids. It starts out by saying, imagine that when you see a city's skyline, you taste blackberries. Or maybe when you hear a violin, you feel a tickle on your left knee. Perhaps you are completely convinced that Wednesdays are red. If you have experiences like these, you might have synesthesia. So what is synesthesia? Synesthesia is a condition in which one sense, for example, hearing, is simultaneously perceived as if by one or more additional senses, such as sight. Another form of synesthesia joins objects such as letters, shapes, numbers, or even people's names with some kind of a sensory perception such as smell, color, or flavor. The word synesthesia comes from two Greek words. The first part, S-Y-N, syn, means together in Greek. And the rest part, the rest of the part comes from the Greek word A-I-S-T-H-E-S-I-S, aesthesis, which means perception. So together, perception. Therefore, as they say, synesthesia literally means joined perception. Synesthesia can involve any of the senses. The most common form, colored letters and numbers. This occurs when someone always sees a certain color in response to a certain letter of the alphabet or a number. For example, a synesthete, who is a person with synesthesia, might see the word plane, P-L-A-N-E, as mint green, or the number 4 as dark brown. And at this point, there are pictures showing the word plain written in pale green on a red background and the number 4 written in brown to illustrate what this synesthete might be seeing. There are also synesthetes who hear sounds in response to smell, people who smell in response to touch, or who feel something in response to sight. Just about any combination of the senses is possible. There are some people who possess synesthesia involving 3 or even more senses, but this is extremely rare. Synesthetic perceptions are specific to each person. Different people with synesthesia almost always disagree on their perceptions. In other words, if one synesthete thinks that the letter Q is colored blue, another synesthete might see Q as orange, so they don't have to agree with each other. Next, we come to a section called diagnosis. Although there is no officially established method of diagnosing synesthesia, some guidelines have been developed by Richard Cytowich, a doctor and a leading synesthesia researcher. Not everyone agrees on these standards, but they do provide a starting point for diagnosis. According to Dr. Cytowich, synesthetic perceptions include the following 5 things. Number 1, they are involuntary. Synesthetes do not actively think about their perceptions. They just happen. The projections are projected rather than experiencing something in the mind's eye, as might happen when you are asked to imagine a color. A synesthete often actually sees a color projected outside the body. Perceptions are durable and generic. The perception must be the very same every time. For example, if you taste chocolate when you hear Beethoven's violin concerto, you must always taste chocolate when you hear it. Also, the perception must be generic. That is, you may see colors or lines or shapes in response to a certain smell, but you would not see something complex, such as a room with people and furniture and pictures on the wall. So the perceptions must be durable and generic. Perceptions must also be memorable. Often the second synesthetic perception is remembered better than the primary perception. For example, a synesthete who always associates the color purple with the name Laura will often remember that a woman's name is purple rather than actually remembering Laura. Also, perceptions have to be emotional. The perceptions may cause emotional reactions such as pleasurable feelings. Now, also reading to you from an article about neuroscience for kids, they ask the question, who has it? Estimates for the number of people with synesthesia range from 1 in 200 to 1 in 100,000. There are probably many people who have the condition but do not realize what it is. Synesthetes tend to be women. In the U.S., studies show that 3 times as many women as men have synesthesia. In the U.K., 8 times as many women have been reported to have it. The reason for this difference is not known. Synesthetes also tend to be left-handed. Synesthetes are more likely to be left-handed than the general population. They also tend to be neurologically normal. Synesthetes are of normal or possibly above average intelligence, and standard neurological exams come out normal. And synesthetes tend to be in the same family. Synesthesia appears to be inherited in some fashion. It seems to be a dominant trait, and it may be on the X chromosome. Next, we have some famous people, some celebrated people who may have had synesthesia, include the following. Vasily Kandinsky, who was a painter in the late 1800s. Amy Beach, a pianist and a composer, also from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Oliver Messiaen, a composer who worked in the early part of the 1900s. Charles Baudelaire, who was a poet who worked in the mid-1800s. Franz Liszt, composer who worked in the early 1800s. Arthur Rimbaud, a poet who worked in the mid-1800s. Richard Phillips Fenneman, who's a physicist, he worked in the early 1900s. Mary J. Blige, who's a singer, songwriter, who's current. You should have heard of her. I also found on another site, I can't remember where I got these other names, sort of rambling through here, Van Gogh was supposedly a synesthete. Marilyn Monroe. How about Billy Joel? How about Stevie Wonder or Lady Gaga? These are all famous people who might have synesthesia. It is possible that some of these people merely expressed synesthetic ideas in their arts, although some of them undoubtedly did have synesthesia. Now we come to the biological basis of synesthesia. Some scientists believe that synesthesia results from crossed wiring in the brain. They hypothesize that in synesthetes, neurons and synapses that are supposed to be contained within one sensory system cross to another sensory system. It is unclear why this might happen, but some researchers believe that these crossed connections are present in everyone at birth, and only later are the connections refined. In some studies, infants respond to sensory stimuli in a way that researchers think may involve synesthetic perceptions. It is hypothesized by these researchers that many children have crossed connections and they later lose them. Adult synesthetes may have simply retained those crossed connections. It is unclear which parts of the brain are involved in synesthesia. Dr. Richard Seidowich's research has led him to believe that the limbic system is primarily responsible for synesthetic experiences. The limbic system includes several brain structures primarily responsible for regulating our emotional responses. Other research, however, has shown significant activity in the cerebral cortex during synesthetic experiences. In fact, studies have shown particularly interesting effect in the cortex. Colored to hearing synesthetes have been shown to display activity in several areas of the visual cortex when they hear certain words. In particular, areas of the visual cortex associated with processing colors are activated when the synesthetes hear words. Non-synesthetes do not show activity in these areas, even when asked to imagine colors or to associate certain colors with certain words. The next section is called Synesthesia and the Study of Consciousness. Many researchers are interested in synesthesia because it may reveal something about human consciousness. One of the biggest mysteries in the study of consciousness is what is called the binding problem. No one knows how we bind all of our perceptions together into one complete whole. For example, when you hold a flower, you see the colors, you see its shape, you smell the scent, and you feel its texture. Your brain manages to bind all of these perceptions together into one concept of a flower. Synesthetes might have additional perceptions that add to their concept of the flower. Studying these perceptions may someday help us understand how we perceive our world. In this section of the program was again on Neuroscience for Kids. It was written by Eric Chudler from the University of Washington in Seattle. He is from the Department of Bioengineering and Anesthesiology and Pain Medicine. He is also Executive Director of the Center for Sensory Motor Neural Engineering. Okay, to round things up, we have an article from Medical News to get today, more of a mainstream article for you. Synesthesia, hearing colors and tasting sounds. I'll read the introductory paragraph to this one. This is published actually in August of last year by Maria Kohut. Can you taste sounds or visualize symphonies of color whenever you hear a song? If your answer to this is yes, you may have a wonderful condition known as synesthesia, which you share with many great artists, writers, and musicians. Writer Vladimir Nabokov had it, and he called it color hearing. By his own account, Nabokov saw each letter in different colors, despite the fact that text was printed all black on white paper. Interestingly, both his wife and his son shared this fascinating ability, though they each saw different palettes of color for the alphabet. Here's a quote, "My wife has this gift of seeing letters in color too, but her colors are completely different," declared the writer in an interview. And this is Vladimir Nabokov that is being interviewed. He continued by saying, "We discovered one day that my son sees letters in color too. Then we asked him to list his colors, and we discovered that in one case, one letter which he sees as purple, or perhaps mauve, is pink to me and blue to my wife. This is the letter M, so the combination of pink and blue makes lilac in his case, which is as if the genes were painting in aquarelle." This was Vladimir Nabokov in an interview for the BBC in 1962. And many other cultural personalities besides Nabokov have reported having a form of synesthesia, including painter Wassily Kandinsky, and here's one I hadn't mentioned to you yet, inventor Nikola Tesla, and composer Franz Liszt. So now back to this article from the for kids. You can do a little experiment if you want to read a random list of numbers to your friends. Have them, for example, 7, 9, 4. Wait 3 seconds after each number. After each number, ask the people to write down the number and what color that they associated with each number. Collect those answers. These sheets will all be labeled answers number 1. 2 or 3 weeks later, repeat this experiment with the same group of people, but change the order of the numbers. This time, instead of starting out 794, again with 3 seconds in between, you could start out 3, 6, 5, and so on, all the way through 9. Collect these answers, and these are called answer sheets number 2. Now, in all the spare time you have, compare the answers on sheet number 1 with the answers on sheet number 2. Any person who has synesthesia will have all or most of the same number color pairs on both answer sheets number 1 and number 2. You can also do this with letters instead of numbers, of course, to determine synesthesia. So how about it? Do you now have a better understanding of synesthesia? Maybe a more interesting question would be, do you have synesthesia? Interesting. To end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. This was said by Maya Angelou, an American poet, singer, memoirist, and civil rights activist. She died at the age of 86 in 2014. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.